I grew up with her dragging me and my sister. There was two places she dragged us to. One was to church, and the other one was on campaigns. when we would go door to door knocking, and we rode in parades and passed out literature to help candidates locally in Cleveland, Ohio. And just overall her support. I started off in college as an education major. I was upset with some of the legislation at the time, which was the No Child Left Behind Act. And it really, I took that to heart, because the students who I so desperately wanted to serve and make a difference in their life, I felt like this new legislation was doing them a disservice, and it was an injustice. And so I changed my major to political science. The trail for that decision, initially I thought about one day becoming the Secretary of Education. The next thought was, oh my gosh, that will never happen. So you better think realistically. And so I started looking into whether I would do nonprofit or do work within a municipality. And I decided, you know, nonprofit, it's hard to get started because you don't get paid. And I said, well, maybe I'll take a journey and one day become a city manager. Life happens, and, you know, never thought of it. But, you know, my grandmother still encouraged me to get involved and do different things along the way.
Is the political science degree you have, is being a normal town council person the first practical application of that?
Yes. It would be the first.
Or at least specific application.
Yes.
I'm sure it's coming handy.
It certainly has come in handy many times. You know, the way we think, you think critically, you learn to think independently. I think I wrote more papers in my undergrad days than I could ever imagine writing, because one thing that I had great professors who, it wasn't that they taught you specifically straight from a book. They'll teach you something, but then they wanted you to talk about it and share your thoughts or how you would have handled things differently.
How did the 2016 presidential election factor into your decision to run, or did it?
To be honest, it did not. I've always been active. It was always pushed, once again, from my grandmother to constantly stay active, that I have a duty to be involved. So for me, the 2016 election was, I get up, I wash my face, and I say, you know what? What do I have to do in today to make a difference? And that's literally how I get up every day. My number one goal is, how can I make a difference? Whether it's me running for office or leading a women's ministry or just speaking to young people, I am here on a mission, and that is what gets me going. 2016 election, it was a disappointment to see that we could elect someone to an office that was once held to such high esteem, who to me is incapable of holding that office. But it was not a wake-up call. It was, now who's going to get involved, and so that I'm not out here by myself.
In the League of Women Voters Guide, you stated the town of Normal is diverse and the city council should be as diverse in order to present a true feeling of one community with many voices. And in the Pantograph, you're quoted as saying, many residents feel diversity and inclusion is just tongue-in-cheek. And you ask, how do you make all citizens feel welcome? How do you make everyone feel welcome and represent the many voices in this community as a council person?
One thing you have to make sure that you share with them, that you hear them. People, just in general, no matter who we are, we all want to be heard, we all want to be recognized, and we always want to feel a part. And I think when things are not seeming segmented, information, whether it's information being dispersed or how we cater certain things, that it seems like it's catered to everyone instead of just a group of people or a section of people or certain demographic. So those are things we can start to look at. And when we make those decisions, and usually, as long as I've been alive, because I've been an African-American and I've been a woman all my life, usually people do it sometimes, even the most people who think they're the most innocent, because it's just innate in us sometimes to do things that seem normal, but it's not, you know, or we say something and don't realize the impact. You know, I've had to deal with that, where if I don't straighten my hair, you know, nobody else say anything about my hair. But if I straighten it, it's like, oh, your hair is really pretty. And, you know, to some person, one person, it was all innocent and they thought it was just a common thing you do. You compliment someone on their hair. But it's kind of also condescending because you wait till I was not in my natural state of hair to compliment me. So it's things like that we have to always be cognizant. We have to take that same mindset when we're making ordinances or coming up with ideas that we don't cross that fine line.
I'm sure I've stepped on those landmines myself. How do you react when someone does that innocently? You know, maybe compliments you when you've straightened your hair, but when you have a fro, they don't say anything about it.
It's one of those things I've had to grow into. There's been a time in my life where I took it personal and I've had hard feelings about it, or I've had gotten angry. I guess I'm to a point now where if I'm comfortable with you, I'll let you know, like, you kind of bordering some lines there. If I don't, you know, I let it ride because that's their ignorance. Mm-hmm. But my hope is that they come across the right person who feels comfortable enough to tell them that that's maybe not a way to approach a situation.
You're listening to Sound Ideas in a series of interviews with newly elected town and city council members. Soon you'll hear from Ward 9 Alderman Kim Bray. And at WGLT.org, you can hear the Sound Ideas interview with Ward 1 Alderman and Jamie Mathey. I'm Mike McCurdy, in with the newest town council member, Town of Normal council member, Kimberly Cummings. Even though the council won't vote on the next budget until March, city staff is already working on it and considering service cuts to deal with flat to declining sales tax receipts and the loss of tax dollars as a result of the dissolution of the Metro Zone. Here's what City Manager Mark Peterson had to say during an interview last week during Sound Ideas.
It takes about 4 months to get that process completed, and we present our preliminary budget to the council in January of each year.
So could you put a word on the next Town of Normal budget? Austere, lean?
Yes. Yes, both
of those.
Austere and lean, and in fact, we'll be talking to the council probably this summer, maybe July or August, about some measures that we're going to be recommending to get this on their radar screen so they're prepared when that budget hits their desks in January.
City Manager Mark Peterson on Sound Ideas. It sounds as though you may be faced with some tough decisions come January. What are your priorities as staff prepares a budget that might pare down some services, things you think are important to preserve?
Two things I think of when I think of how do we preserve anything. Number one, how does it best serve our residents? And then number two, what challenges does it present to the quality of life? And so those are the two things that I'll keep in the forefront of my mind as we make those decisions. Because at the end of the day, it's the people we serve. It's the people who elected us to be here and make the best decisions possible. And that's who we have to take a look at and put in the forefront of our mind as we make those decisions.
I assume core city services would be important?
Absolutely. You know,
garbage,
things,
water,
those
police,
things,
fire.
Yeah, because that falls right into that line of quality of service. You know, to remove those things would diminish significantly the quality of life here in town. So, yes, those fall right in line with my second point.
How do you think staff and maybe individual council members ought to move forward after the acrimony created by the unilateral abandonment of the Metro Zone agreement by Bloomington? Is there moving forward?
There is always a moving forward point. It's like anything. It's you have to think about how do you want to repair a relationship? Because that's basically at the end of the day. Yes, we know there's a contractual part to it, but at the core or center of it all is a relationship that's involved. It's almost like a marriage. You've got the marriage, and then you've got children that are involved in it. And, you know, how do you move forward for the sake of the children? How do you move forward in order to do what's right for our constituents? And how do we have to make it work? We're only better together, both Bloomington and Normal, than to be separated and to make decisions separately.
Ward 1 Alderman Jamie Mathey said he's meeting in small groups with elected officials from Normal and says interpersonal communication is a way to move on from things like the Metro Zone. Are you meeting with any of your counterparts in Bloomington?
I have not met with any of them yet. I've only received one email so far, or reach out, I should say, that, you know, asking, can we meet? So, you know, I'm opening to listening. You know, I'm new, so I guess I've got a lot to learn, and I want to hear what people think. I want to know what's on their brains, because I'm one of those people who I don't just close my ears to what you have to say. You know, whether we agree or disagree, I'm here to at least listen.
And will you be reaching out to Bloomington Council members?
I can certainly do that.
On the table in talks between aldermen and council members is the notion of a municipal shared sales tax agreement. What are your thoughts on a shared sales tax agreement between Bloomington and Normal?
There's not a lot out there right now about what might go into that. And for me, before I could, and that's just the logical part of me, before I could even make that decision or say, yes, this would be great, or no, this would not, I would really want to know the details and the ins and outs and what that would look like. I think, especially coming from a situation where there was some mutual understanding before and some mutual agreement, we definitely want to take a look at what's going to be a part of that shared sales tax.
And then some of the problems Normal is having with its budget is the fact that sales taxes are down. What are some options or strategies to actually grow the sales tax in this community?
That's a very difficult one, because that's not a question that's just this community is facing. This is a national issue. One of the biggest things that I think that we're not talking about or putting any pressure on, and I don't know, maybe it might come back around. I know at one point there was some talk in the legislature about putting some requirements about the sales tax from online. I think I would like to see some stuff move with that, because that would not only just help Bloomington Normal, but, you know, we're talking about a national, in a sense, crisis here, where a lot of cities are failing because of the loss of sales tax. And it's hard. It's really disheartening at this point.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy, talking with Town of Normal Councilmember Kimberly Cummings, sworn into office in May. During the GLT League of Women Voters candidate forum, you favored some sort of cooperation between the communities on library services. Where are you on that, as both communities seem poised to develop separate facilities at this point?
You know, it would be nice if there were things that we could do collectively. I think there are opportunities, you know, across the board to combine some things, maybe make it easier. I do know that there are some obstacles, just because there's some different setups between the two cities and between the city and the town. But they're not insurmountable, you know. But I think we've got a long way to go, I think, to a degree, to before we get there. And not in a bad way. It's just being able to get a good focus. I think we have some things that come up before that. One, talking about the budget and how do you increase, you know, revenue where we're losing in sales tax. I think those things are so much at the forefront to start having conversations about combining some of those entities, like a library, is really not at the top of the list at this moment. Doesn't mean we can't come back to it.
Are there other areas of cooperation that are higher up on the list that you think are possible?
I'm sure there's many. I know that there's been conversations about the fire station, you know, to reduce fire time, and that's just to name one. So I think we're in a place to talk about some of them, but there's just some that come before others.
Sure.
Right now.
The library is just one competing priority. Another is a multi-sports complex in the town's west side. Should public money, town money, be part of the equation? And what's the balance if there's a public-private partnership?
That's always difficult. And because you have so many people who are against any type of input from the public.
Financial input.
For financial input. It's got to be a balance. It has to make sense. And I don't have the numbers or the figures to say, hey, this is 100% good. This is what we should contribute. But one thing I do know, that there's a lot of economic development, not just locally here, but many cities. I've read up on numerous cities who have now adopted this new way of doing economic development. They're thriving. They're growing cities.
Sports marketing.
Yes, yeah. Also into sports marketing. So, there's matter of fact, our neighboring state, Indiana, has a complex out there where they've been able to grow and gain some revenue. So it's not unheard of, but I think right now everything is kind of, and especially for me, maybe there might be some that have been in this a little bit longer who have a little bit more information. But until I guess, get a little bit more information to where I feel comfortable to say this is a sure thing that we need to invest in or take a look at.
If it is an investment, what kind of return would you like to see? In other words, what do you think the benefits to the community are financially and otherwise to some sort of complex like that?
To a complex like that, you're not just looking at what the complex itself brings. I mean, you're looking at hotel, motel tax. You're looking at sales tax. You're looking at food and beverage tax because people will eventually use it for tournaments, which will draw not just locally. I mean, you could even get to a point where you're drawing nationally. And so the amount of people that would flock here, you know, and it brings a new presence to our town. So that's something to be proud of. But when you start adding up those additional revenues, you know, people shopping in our stores, a lot of times I know, like with my husband and I, we don't eat chains or shop in chain places when we go out of town. We eat locally. We shop locally. The normal things that you just can't find anywhere else, that's where we go to. And so those are the things that'll draw to our town.
We touched on the library. It would be an uptown anchor, specifically part of Uptown 2.0, south of the tracks. People have to get there and get back and forth between the tracks or over or under the tracks. Where is your support falling with the recommendation offered by the consultants who studied the underpass options, and what about funding it?
So I will save my choice for our vote when we decide to vote. And I've mentioned it before, so kind of where I stand. And but I will say this.
You've mentioned it before. Where are you leaning?
Last I checked that I was leaning, not to say that it won't change, because anything is possible. And that's the one thing I want people to understand. You get new information, you are afforded more numbers, more dollars, mm-hmm. different things can happen. And so what I may say now could change just with a new packet of information coming to me tomorrow.
Sure.
And one thing that I stated even when I was on campaign trail, that I lean more towards the underpass. And it, when you're talking about, when you see, it's almost like buying a car. You can get the initial sticker shock from the initial costs, but then when you start talking about how much the gas costs, how much maintenance goes into it, versus you pay for a cheaper car, but all the maintenance that might come with that, and how often you have to put gas in the tank, either they either balance, or sometimes what seems cheaper really isn't cheaper in the end.
And what about funding? Should the town put any money toward that? Should they hold off until they're able to find state and federal grants?
I think it would be nice if we could find other opportunities or other ways to fund. That would be top priority. I think any town or city would do that first before just jumping in and say, well, we're going to foot the bill immediately for it. There's many ways to fund a project or take a look at how we can fund it or how we make it happen. So I think we'll have to be very strategic on how we do that, because it will be a chunk of money that we're forcing out for that. So,
all right. Kimberly Cummings, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas, and congratulations on the election.
Thank you very much.